My dearly beloved in Christ, a few days ago, I returned from Vietnam, where I was invited by a very generous family who paid the travel and all the expenses. So I traveled there with one of our brothers, and I would like to tell you a little bit about the trip, and in particular, about the faith in Vietnam. Now, Vietnam is a very long country, north to south. It's about 1,000 miles from the northern border to the southern border, but yet is fairly narrow. And geographically, square miles, it would fit into the state of New Mexico. And yet, being not a large country, it is the 15th most populous country in the world, with a little over 100 million people. Of those 100 million, about 7.5% are Catholic. So doesn't seem like a large percent, but again, that amounts to some 7 million people or so that are Catholics. And so we traveled to a number of churches, a couple of monasteries, beautiful monasteries, and I was very impressed with the strength of the faith with the people that I met. And going into churches, some of these beautiful basilicas and churches, and again, seeing people praying the rosary devoutly. What especially strikes me in visiting a country like this, mission territory for so many years, is the zeal of the missionaries who went there. The first missionaries were Portuguese, and they went there sometime in the 1600s. They were followed later by other missionaries, especially French and also Spanish. And as a result of the zeal of these missionaries, many people were converted. That didn't sit very well with the mandarins and the emperors. The primary religion there is Buddhism, also Confucianism, and it's sort of ancestral worship. So obviously, Christianity was looked upon as a threat, and a real effort was made to stamp out Christianity. And over a couple hundred years, 1700s, 1800s, there were upwards of 300,000 Catholics put to death for their faith. Despite that, the faith lived on and endured. Of those put to death for their faith, 117 were beatified, beginning with Pope Leo XIII in 1900, beatified, I think, about 60 Vietnamese martyrs. Pope Pius X, on two occasions, beatified more. And then Pope Pius XII, in 1951, beatified another 50-some martyrs. So altogether, 117 whose story, whose histories could be proved that they died for the faith, but again, many others who were martyrs. We visited, an area that is the strongest Catholic area around Nam Dinh, and neighboring city and diocese, Biu Chu. And that is where the vast majority of people are Catholic, because that's where the French missionaries landed. It's basically central part of Vietnam, near the coast. So the missionaries landed there, evangelized the people, and again, many adopted the faith. So quite impressive. In fact, in this city of Biu Chu, we visited several churches there, and you look around and you see a lot of Catholic churches. We went to an orphanage there. This orphanage was started by a Spanish bishop in 1852, and he was put to death in 1859. But it has endured to this day. And I was particularly impressed with the dedication of the oblates, as they call them, these women who, they're not religious, they don't take vows, but they dedicate their time, their lives for as many years as they wish to taking care of the children that are either orphans or abandoned in this orphanage. So that was one particular highlight of the trip. The priest in charge of the orphanage was 83 years old, been in charge for a number of years, and we visited with him. He said he was ordained in 1963, so certainly valid. He was only 21 at the time, but he was ordained early because the bishop wasn't sure, given the time, the war at that time, whether he would be able to ordain these seminarians to priestly ordination. So he was ordained sooner than would normally be the case. The church is there. We happened to be Sunday. We saw a church filled with people, and again, devoutly praying the rosary. We went to another place, a monastery. This was a large Benedictine monastery. And outside in the grounds, beautiful grounds, there was a crucifix that had been vandalized. This was probably about a 10-foot tall crucifix, just a shrine in the grounds. And I don't know whether it was destroyed by communist individuals or whatever, because as you know, Vietnam is a communist country. But at any rate, the crucifix is lying there in the ground in pieces, and people go there and pray the rosary in reparation. So when we went to see it, there happened to be a pilgrimage group praying the rosary at that time. And then we visited that very large Benedictine monastery, and another one, a Cistercian monastery. In fact, the Cistercian monastery was interesting because the abbot who was in charge, and this was in the 1930s, there weren't very many vocations at that time, so he had a great devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, and he erected a statue in the grounds there, beautiful grounds, and a nice shrine to Our Lady of Fatima, and then vocations began to flow in. At the time we were there, there were 120 monks still there. So large numbers of vocations. We went to, in Biu Chu, we visited the seminary there. And this priest, Novus Ordo priest, but showed us around the seminary. Of course, there were no seminarians there because it was vacation time. But he was telling us how many there were. I don't remember, but this five-story building filled with seminarians. And next to it, there was another, on the same grounds, another seminary that was a preparatory seminary for young men who were interested in the priesthood but had to go through some preparatory classes. And there were about 125 there at the time. We heard them singing, heard the singing from a distance, and asked what that was. And these were young men there preparing to enter the seminary. So they still have a large number of vocations there. We had Mass for small groups of people. I was a little worried. How is this going to work with confessions? But people use their smartphones, and they had an app, and they would type in what they wanted to say to the priest in Vietnamese and then translate, and they show me the phone and I'd read it, nod my head, and then they'd put a little more and it would translate. So using modern technology to facilitate confessions. We also went, the farthest south we went to a place called Nha Dang, close to Hue, where Archbishop Thuc was a bishop of Hue, which at one time was the ancestral capital of Vietnam. And the emperor lived there, and so forth. So that was also a Catholic area. But I mentioned the 117 martyrs. We found statues and pictures of them, etc., wherever we went in Catholic churches. So in Hue, outside the cathedral, there is like beautiful grounds, and they have the busts of different ones, and they tell the story of how they were put to death and so forth. So again, quite impressive, the strength of the faith there. We had our Vietnamese seminarian with us, so I would give the sermon and he would translate for the people. We have, as I'm sure you know, a Vietnamese priest living at Mount St. Michael, Father Joseph Pham, and he was Novus Ordo. By the grace of God, he came to understand that the Novus Ordo is not the true Mass, and understood, came to the conclusion that he had not been properly ordained, because it was ordained in the new rite. So he went to Omaha, studied, was ordained by His Excellency, is at the Mount right now, but he is planning on moving back to Vietnam in December. And I'm sure that there will be a good growth of the faith with a resident priest. Right now we have a priest that visits the Philippines, and he will go to Saigon. We didn't get there. That's in the far south of Vietnam, but there's a group of people there that he has mass for on occasion. So a real possibility for the growth of the faith there in Vietnam. Again, the roots of the faith are very strong. And of course, the people being deceived by the Novus Ordo, but a real possibility for the spread of the true faith and traditional true Catholicism there in Vietnam. About 20 years ago, I got a phone call here from a family in Rexburg. Now that is about 8 hours away, 7.5, 8 hours, and it's real close to Yellowstone Park in southeastern Idaho. And this man, elderly Vietnamese man, had passed away, and he had told his family before he died he wanted me to have the funeral. Now I had never met him, but he insisted he wanted the priest from Mary Immaculate Queen Church in Rathdrum to have his funeral. He was traditional Catholic, so I drove down there, had the funeral. And it reminded me also, I was at the Mount again about 20 or so years ago, maybe 25 years ago, and a large group of Vietnamese people came up from southern Idaho to visit the Mount, visited the bookstore, etc. So the obviously a number of Vietnamese migrated to the United States at the time of the war, and especially after the war, despite the peace treaty signed in Geneva in January of 1973, dividing the country into North Vietnam communist and South Vietnam free. Eventually, the North Vietnamese, the communists, went down and they took over South Vietnam in 1975, so a lot of people fled. Some 15 years or so ago, I was, as you know, I used to go to Boston regularly, so I organized a little pilgrimage with our faithful there in Boston to the National Shrine of Our Lady of La Salette, which is in a place called Attleboro, Massachusetts, which is south, real close to Rhode Island, southern Massachusetts, not that far from Boston. So we went there to pray the rosary on the beautiful grounds there and visit the nice statue of Our Lady of La Salette and so forth. Well, it just so happened while we were there that there was a Vietnamese pilgrimage, and there were about 200 to 300 people from all over the Northeast, from Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania. All of these Vietnamese people had gathered together for a little pilgrimage. And it's very interesting to watch them. They had confessionals set up for outdoors under a covering for priests, and they had all these different, a whole schedule. And then they had the rosary, a procession. And one of the things that struck me was the piety of the older generation, but sadly, the lack of care in the younger generation who had been totally Americanized. So these are people who had lived here for 30 or 40 years. Their children, growing up in this country, going to public school, they didn't seem interested. There was a definite, a noticeable difference between the piety of the older generations and the lack of concern and lack of piety on the part of the youth. Sad. But again, the faith is strong, and we see in Vietnam in particular the enduring work of the missionaries. The missionaries who went there at such great sacrifice. I think to myself, imagine going from France, because the majority of the missionaries were from France, going to Vietnam, realizing you will never go home again. You'll never return to your own family, your own country. Very likely, you would be put to death, having to learn a completely different language and adopting the customs, the type of food, everything about a new culture. But they did that because they were so filled with zeal to spread the faith. So this is a mark of the true church, apostolic, this desire to spread the true faith to everyone. As our Lord said to his apostles, go forth and teach all men whatever I have taught you, to go forth into the whole world and teach the faith. And that's what our heroic missionaries have done down through the centuries. One last comment. One of the graces, I had wanted to visit the shrine of the blessed Theophane Vinard. He was a French priest from the French Paris, was called the Paris Foreign Mission Society, and he went there in the 1860s, I believe. He was martyred thereabouts, 1860s. He wrote a number of letters, beautiful, that express his desire to spread the faith. And these inspired the little flower, St. Teresa of Lisieux. She volunteered to go to Vietnam because a Carmelite convent was being set up in Vietnam, and she was so desirous of doing her part to spread the faith. So she volunteered, but she came down with tuberculosis, of which she died, and so she was not able to go. But she was inspired by reading the letters of this heroic priest who was put to death for the faith, declared blessed, and his remains, his body, was taken back to Paris, the Foreign Mission Society in Paris, but his head, his skull, is preserved there. So we visited that shrine, and that was one of my main goals, places I wanted to visit. So it certainly was a grace-filled trip, but one that reminds us of the beauty of our faith and the desire we all should have to do our part, at least by prayer and also supporting the work of the missions insofar as you can for the spread of the true faith throughout the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.